Chapter 5 of the Exodus. We're in chapter 5. Do you know God is a troublemaker for you? God is a troublemaker. What do you think? When I say God is troublemaker, what comes to your mind? They're good trouble and they're bad troubles, right? And bad trouble, a lot of times we did it because, you know, our sinfulness, our mistakes, and our selfishness. So we brought trouble to ourselves. But good troubles, they're good troubles. It's that you didn't do anything, but then this thing just happened to you. And you know what day? This is close. This is commemorating of Selma March. How many of you know Selma, Alabama? You guys. This is the coming up 58th anniversary of the Selma March for Civil Rights in America. Martin Luther King, and then he led a bunch of people to march from Selma, Alabama to Montgomery, Alabama to protest. At that time, black people didn't have the right to vote. Well, they make it very difficult for the black people to vote. So that's called Civil Right March. Historian called it the Bloody Sunday because what happened was that as they marched, the police unleashed their forces and beating those people who are marching.
Are we talking about the Russian Revolution?
The original what?
The Russian Revolution?
No, this is not a revolution. This is a civil right. Civil right. Martin Luther King Jr., who's the one that was the icon. But along with him were his, a lot of his lieutenant, people who marched with him. One of the person later on become a congressman is called John Lewis. John Lewis. And he was beaten on that day. And it is a Sunday, March 7th, 1968. When he was beaten, bloody. And then afterwards, they interview him. And he says, "We are troublemakers. We do this. We make troubles." So the whole nation will come to realize the inequities among us. He said, "We are the good troublemaker. We have to make troubles so people would know what happened, what is going on in America." John Lewis said that. He recently passed away. Good troublemaker. And this today, as we read chapter 5, this is what Moses accused God to be. This is what Moses accused God to be. I want to read it first, and then you'll see. You'll see. Because once Moses confronted Pharaoh, there's nothing but trouble for his people, for God's people. Nothing but trouble. Okay. Afterward, this is the following chapter 4, after Moses went to Egypt, agreed to go to Egypt, and then his brother Aaron met him, and then they met all the elders of Israel, convinced them that God is now going to rescue them from Egypt, and Moses is his deliverer. So they all agreed. God has sent them. So chapter 5 begins with this. Afterwards, after this clarifications among the Jews, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh. This is the first time that he went to Pharaoh, talked to Pharaoh, and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Then they say, the God of Hebrew has met with us. Now let us take a three-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifice to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. Here comes the trouble. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. Verse 10. Then the slave drivers and the foremen went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh said, I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw, whatever you can find it. But your work will not be reduced at all. So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubbles to use for straw. The slave drivers keep pressing them, saying, complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw. The Israelite foremen appointed by Pharaoh's slave driver were beaten and were asked, why didn't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before? Then the Israelite foreman went and appealed to Pharaoh. Why have you treated your servant this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people. Pharaoh said, lazy. That's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. Israelite foremen realized they were in trouble when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they say, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Verse 22, Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon his people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Mm-hmm. Moses is supposed to go there and just take the people out. And God actually already told him in chapter 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart so Pharaoh will not let him go. God already told Moses, it's not going to be easy, it's going to be hard. But how hard? Well, first of all, the trouble comes. So he has the the Hebrew are now turning against Moses, because once Moses spoke to the Pharaoh, trouble comes to them. So my sermon today is going to be built on the troubles that God caused. Trouble that God caused. You know, we always think that God is peaceful, loving God. Peaceful, loving God. But there is other aspect, characteristic, divine nature of God. And in this case, I think we learned today is that he is a troublemaker. But you know, the thing is that the trouble always come to the people of God. Trouble always come to the people of God. Either they're by design, God meant for it, or by nature. I told you that you don't belong to the world, you belong to God. And Jesus said, that's the reason why the world hates you. That's why people hate you. As soon as we identify as God's people, there is an evil force who will do his best to deter us, to tempt us, to destroy us, to alienate us, to isolate us, to harm us. Remember, you know, if you look at Jesus' temptations, the devil said to Jesus, this world has been given to me. It's been given to me, and I can give to whoever worships me. So in other words, you are living in the unfriendly territories. If you are a true Christian, born-again Christians, you live in the enemy's territories. And so that's why Paul says, you are in a spiritual fight. You're always in a spiritual warfare. Whether you like it or not, you are. Of course, some of us, some Christian, rather be a POW than a soldier. Okay, I surrender to you, so, you know. But there is a price to pay to be a POW too. So, this is the reason I already read it to you in John chapter 17, verse 14 to 18, is that this is the reason why the world hates you, because you belong to God. You belong to Jesus Christ. You know, Pharaoh thinks, in chapter 5, Pharaoh thinks that Hebrew belongs to him. Moses came and says, God says, let my people go. My people. Hebrew, the Jews, are God's people. But Pharaoh thinks it's his people. That's why he can do whatever he wants to these group of people. They are my slaves. I can tell them to do whatever I desire them. So, as we read more, and you see is that it is a sort of kind of war between God, who are in control of his people's destiny, or Pharaoh, who thinks that he has them as his slaves and does whatever he wished to do. So there is already, you know, building up a drama. God's people or Pharaoh's people? God's people or Pharaoh's people? And in this drama, God purposely brings trouble to the Jews, to the Hebrews. Egyptian trouble hasn't started yet, but the trouble first comes to God's people. First comes to God's people. And this trouble actually is caused, we read this, is caused by people who do not know the Lord. Because Pharaoh says, who is Lord? that I should obey him. So a lot of time is that your trouble, the trouble that we confront every day, or the trouble that we actually experience is come from people who doesn't know the Lord. And is in defiance to the Lord. And, you know, Pharaoh thinks that these people wants to have a holiday so they can do their festival in the desert. This is what Pharaoh thinks the Lord wants them, to give them a holiday, 3-day holidays. And in defiance, the Pharaoh says, no, I'm going to work you to death. You know, there are evil things. There are people that who doesn't know the Lord, who defying God. You think about Adolf Hitler, who killed 6 million Jews. It is not just a political solutions. It is also an act of defiance and fearless of God. It is to demonstrate that God, the Lord, is now with his people. He let his people suffer and die in vain. That's what a lot of people interpret the Holocaust. God is not with them. God is not with them. Look at what Hitler can do in defiance to God. But you step back a little bit, and then you see God's great purpose. Through the Holocaust, because of Holocaust, God returned the Hebrew who were scattered all over the world to bring them back into the promised land. God reconstituted the nation of Israel. That hasn't been a nation for over 2,000 years, ever since Rome destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. So on May 14, 1948, there is another Jewish nation reborn. The reason it was able to reborn because the Holocaust, because nations of the world see the suffering of the Jews and decided is that they will recognize a Jewish nation built in the promised land. So you see, there's trouble, but the trouble leads to God's actions. And there's a greater purpose a lot of time that we have to come to appreciate that. We have to come to appreciate that. The trouble, yes, there are a lot of God's people die. But then, through all this, people come to see the faithfulness of God, because this promise of come, bring them back to the Holy Land, to give them another nation, was promised already thousands of years before that actually happened. There's a greater purpose. There's a greater purpose in the trouble that we see today. So sometime that you have to look at your trouble, our troubles, as God's way to fulfill his larger purpose. Larger purpose. And this is, we talk about a good trouble and bad trouble, right? And we believe is that the trouble that in chapter 5 that God brings to the Hebrews are good trouble, because it initiated, it started with God. It started with God. So what is, why the troubles? Why troubles? I think we talked about it last time. It says, God can certainly make Moses' work much easier and just give Pharaoh a kind, obedient heart. So when Moses asked Pharaoh to let God's people go, and Pharaoh will have a soft heart and says, okay, go. Then, no more trouble, right? No more trouble. No more plagues. Let his people go. So they will leave it on good terms. We talked about it last week. What would happen if there's no drama? There's no drama. There won't be a story like this, first of all. There won't be a DreamWorks making all this movie, Prince of Egypt. They will not, the Jews will not remember this event after generations and generations. And most of all, through this drama that we're going to be going through, see the plagues and all that, God burned the bridge for the Jews. They cannot go back to Egypt anymore. Did you ever thought about that? Because if they leave on a good term, they said, Egyptians are nice to us. I dream of eating all these, so what do you call it? Egyptians, garlic, you know, chives, all these good things in Egypt. Let's go back. That actually happened.
Even when they
don't have a bridge anymore to go back, they still are looking, thinking, dreaming of going back. And say, God says, I'm taking you out. I'm going to burn the bridge. You cannot go back anymore. See, this is why the troubles. This is why the trouble. Trouble is the initiation of what God is about to do. What God is about to do. So why the trouble? That's the reason why the trouble. But you know, the thing is that we always have a misunderstanding of who God is. We think that God is just a peaceful old man. He wants everybody to be peaceful. He wants everybody to be happy. You know, be kind to everybody. Love one another. Even though these are divine characteristics, we cannot say that God is not love. We cannot say God is not kindness. But this is not all God is. This is not all God is. And, you know, to me, when I first became Christian, I have a hard time to accept what Jesus said in Matthew 10. This is when Jesus sent the disciples out to do evangelism, to share the good news, Matthew 10. And I have trouble understanding. In verse 34 to 39, this is what Jesus said. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemy will be the member of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. As a new Christian, when I read that, that's a shock. Because I was told that God loves us and died for us. But then this comes. You know, sometimes we try to explain away. It's like, oh, really? This guy doesn't really mean that. There's, you know, you're trying to explain away that this is not. But But this is what Jesus said. So it seems to me Jesus is saying that there will be troubles once you receive me as your Savior and Lord. There will be trouble. There are people from your household will be against you. The people in your community will be against you. You will be under pressure. People don't like you. Well, we see that Jesus already said that and prayed for us. Right? So you will have trouble. But Jesus in ultimately saying that you will have trouble. Trouble comes as a price of following God. So don't surprise it comes to you. In fact, sometimes it's a validation. Because not of your own doing. Now I want to say this, I want to emphasize this. This trouble is not of your own doing. In other words, that you did something bad. And then the law comes to you and arrests you. You know? That's not what I'm saying. This trouble is really nothing that you had done. Maybe, but perhaps receive Jesus into your heart and following Jesus. When you follow Jesus and his way, trouble comes. That kind of trouble I'm talking about. So, as we look at the trouble, that trouble leads to what? Most likely leads to fear. Right? And when Jesus sent out his disciples, he already told them that you will have oppositions. People will be opposing you. You are not going to be welcome into their home, you know, because you're proclaiming that I am the Savior, I'm the Messiah. So be on the alert. Some people might even want to kill you. Some maybe you want to kill you because you're telling them that it is not by obeying the law that you are righteous, but it is believing Jesus Christ to gain your righteousness. These are against the law of Moses. So you might have life and death kind of thing. Well, then Jesus in verse 28, in chapter 10, verse 28 of Matthew, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So when you are under these pressure and trouble, just remember, Jesus says, is that don't be afraid of these things. Don't be afraid of Pharaoh. Don't be afraid of Pharaoh. Because Jesus says, I will be with you. Just like God says to Moses, I will be with you in Egypt. So don't be afraid of your trouble. Don't be afraid of your trouble. But seek the Lord. But what is the larger purpose? We always talk about big pictures, right? And you look at, now, their trouble with the Hebrews, no straws, but they still have to work hard to make the quotas. And Moses keep complaining, God, why are you making it so hard for me? You know? He hasn't started hard. Hardship hasn't started yet, but you have already said, you know, why do you trouble? Why do you keep bringing trouble to us? And we talk about don't have your eyes focusing on the trouble, the larger pictures, right? We come to realize the larger picture of the Holocaust is that God brings all his people back to the Holy Land, back to the Promised Land, and make them a nation. Make them a nation. So what is the larger purpose here? The story of Exodus. What's the larger purpose? I want to jump ahead and just give you guys a larger picture, and then you can frame all the activities that God will do in the next few chapters by this frame, by this larger picture. Okay, let me read Exodus 19. Remember, Moses hasn't gotten to this point yet. Moses doesn't know. We have the advantage that we have perspective. We have the advantage of perspective. Verse 19, chapter 19, Exodus 19, verse 1 to 6. This is after they already left Egypt. In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai. And Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. That's Mount Sinai. Then Moses went up to God. And the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is his purpose. This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt. Oh, this is after the plagues and all that drama. And how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possessions. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you have to speak to the Israelites. That is the purpose. He brought this ragtag group of people from Egypt who hardly knows the Lord, brings them through all this drama, plagues, going through the Red Sea to this point. And God told them, this is why I take you out of Egypt. So you will be to me a shining example of my power, my authority, my compassion, my faithfulness to you. You will be for me a kingdom of priests. You are to tell the nations who I am, how I brought you out from Egypt with my mighty hands. This is that purpose of Exodus. This is the purpose of Exodus. Not just so, oh, God says, oh, I'm so sorry for you guys. Okay, so I'm going to bring you out. Okay, so you don't have to suffer as a slave anymore. No, this is a large purpose. So now you say, what does that got to do with me? I'm not Jews. I can appreciate, if I'm a Jew, I can appreciate this is what God does. I'm not a Jew, so what does that got to do with me? But it has everything to do with you. It has everything to do. Look, 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, this is in the New Testament now. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 12. Okay, verse 8. Oh no, let me do 7. Now to you who believe, that's us, right? To you who believe, this stone is precious. This stone means the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders reject has become the capstone. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And stone that caused men to stumble, and the rock that makes them fall. So again, Jesus caused people to stumble. Jesus divides us. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you, those of you who believe, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Same words that he used in Exodus chapter 19. You are now a a nation of priests. You are a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. You might declare the praise. You might be the precious Jew that God holds up to the world to see. You, Christians, wow, and take you out of darkness like Egypt, and into the wonderful light of Jesus Christ, the promised land. That is God's greater purpose. Now, translated to us as God's people. So Exodus is not just for the Jews to appreciate, to remember. Exodus is actually our spiritual journey to become people of God. A spiritual journey to become a people of God. So trouble is good if it comes from God, because it's a prelude to Him acting. It's a prelude for Him to reveal Himself. And in this case, He revealed to us that He is the one who about to act, and for His greater purpose, according to His greater purpose. So we'll continue on chapter 6, and to see what kind of trouble God is going to bring, not just to the Jews. Chapter 5 is a trouble to the Jews, but chapter 6 and onward, there's a lot of trouble for the Egyptians. A lot of trouble for Pharaoh. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that You said we had trouble, but You have overcome it. So we thank You, Jesus, that You have overcome these troubles for us. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for the promise. For the promise that You are with us from now until when You come back. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.